Well, the great news is that God has an open door. And when we have that kind of a perspective, He's already waiting and willing to fellowship with us. What a wonderful thing that is. Craig is not here this morning because he came down with something overnight. So anyway, he doesn't feel good. So he called me early this morning, let me know. Anyway, I wanted to just read a psalm and then open it up for you. I'm not going to have a long discourse here. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For night and day your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to Yahweh, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. What a wonderful God we have. And, you know, I continue to grow in amazement of Him. And that is because He doesn't have to do anything. He's completely independent, infinite. You know, one of my favorite videos was when the atheist, I forgot his name, he's a prominent atheist, was being interviewed by another guy that I forgot his name. Anyway, it's on a video I have. I need to watch it again to get it back in my head. But he was asking him, he said, where did everything come from? And he said, well, you know, it came from a galaxy out there somewhere. Well, where'd that come from? Well, further out in the universe. Well, where'd the universe come from? He finally said, I don't know. And that was the funniest thing, because the fact of the matter is, nothing can come from something that is all that has not been here. And God didn't have anything start Him. He's the only one who never had a beginning. It's incredible. We can't comprehend that. We don't know how to fathom that, other than just continue to grow in our amazement of Him. And I appreciate the songs that were sung today, because our God is an infinite God. But He's such a loving God, and that's the whole motivation for it, is His love. Because He owes us nothing. But His love compels Him to help us in our situation. With that, I'm going to open it up, and you have some things you want to come and share. It's time.
I'm Barbara, and I lost my Molly Ann a month, June the 13th, and I was very, very upset, and I was depressed, and I still, you know, she's still in my heart. She always will be. But this little guy is Snowball. I named him Snowball. And I understand he's like a year and a half. I'll get his papers next week, and I'll find out. But how I got him is with Catherine Smith, is my wonderful friend. She lives downstairs from me. She brings me to church. I drive, but since she's coming, I go with her. And her daughter has a friend that her daughter had him, but then when she got pregnant and had the baby, she didn't want him anymore. So they brought him to my house 10 o'clock Thursday night, and I said, I'll just look at him and see, you know, what takes place. Well, I got him. And he got me too, yes. And, yeah, and I'm happy. He's a puppy, and he's a mixture of Havanese and poodle. I have no clue what that is. But, yeah, and now next thing, I'm going to get him neutered, and then he'll be all right. But I just wanted to share my precious with you. He's a wiggly worm right now, but but he hasn't been around a whole lot of people at all. Now, they kept him in the house with pee pads, and now that I have him in my apartment, he looks out and he'll bark at people that's walking or a car that rides by. But he's learning, and now he's seen everybody here in church. Oh, he loves this. Hopefully he'll take a nap when he gets home. But thank you.
I just have to add, my wife has been watching these dog shows on and a rescue, and they train these dogs. And then there's others where they have them do things, and it's incredible what dogs are like. She would love to have one, but she can't really take care of it because of her situation. But it's been really encouraging, and so it's like a therapeutic experience. And I think God gave us these things to help us in our walk.
Morning. I think the last time I was up here was Mother's Day. So, been a while. Hi. On the topic of losing animals, we lost our big dog, Max, last October. So, hits home, definitely. But we have a smaller dog who's half Pekingese, half poodle. And so for my 18th birthday, we went on a trip, came back, and our dog sitter lost him. So that was fun. And he was missing for about 9 days, and we just got him back, so that was definitely a relief. So our dog sitter lives about 20 minutes away from us, and she had him pinned up outside. And instead of clipping it to the harness on his back, she clipped it to his collar. So he pulled and pulled, and it snapped. But he's back now. Yeah, so we consider that a blessing. Yeah. Anyways. That's my piece for this morning.
Good morning. This is like a regular homecoming, man. I see people coming that haven't been here for a long time. And I have missed coming here so badly. My mom and dad, the Lord's really working in our family. It's really a victory. We got finished, my brother and some helper, Rocky and JP and me and all that, got a U-Haul and got my parents moved in, sort of. There's a lot of setting up to do, and they haven't released my dad yet, but hopefully that's coming this week. Again, my mom is over the top. So many huge decisions to go on in a very short period of time for all of us, and it's easy to get caught up in the but ifs and the what ifs and stuff like that. But you know, we serve a God that's really got this all orchestrated. And as humans and as flesh gets in the way, sometimes we sit there and we say, yeah, but I think we ought to do this. And no, I think we ought to go this way. And we're pulling and tugging and pushing and stuff like that. And you know, that's just what humans do. And it's really kind of cool that I'm growing in the process of just having a peace in my heart. It's almost, I don't want to say comical, because that's the wrong thing to use in this circumstance. But I just sit back and I look at people trying this and trying that. And thankfully, they're moving anyway. I mean, it's easier to get something going in the right direction if it's moving to begin with, if you follow my meaning there. But trying to do things in our flesh is almost comical, really, I think. I can see God up there saying, you know, I'm really glad you guys are making an effort, but you just got no clue as to what to do. And I love you guys so much. You are my sheep, and I'm going to help you with this. And the reason I say all that is to say that when you understand that, not just here and not just reading it in scriptures, but you get it and it's in your heart that, you know, no matter what we do, I am a child of the one true God. Amen. And he's not going to let us down. We're going through some tough times and we're not the only ones. Everybody is going through some very tough times. But as children of God, we are brothers and sisters that serve the one true God who will get us through. And that gives you peace in the heart. No matter what goes on, you can have peace in your heart. And you can sit back and look back. And there's so many times in these past few weeks that I have been able to sit back and look back. And somebody will maybe say, yeah, but if only this happened, if only that had happened. I was like, you know what? This is a victory day. Because when it really comes down to it, 3 weeks ago, I didn't know if my dad was going to make it through the night. And now he's as stubborn as ever and ready to make decisions. And praise God, I've got my dad back. And it may not have been the choices that we wanted. They were kind of forced on us. But I get to live like half a mile away from where my parents are right now. And to help them share in the last days of their life. Amen. That is a victory. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Blanca. Such a joy being in the house of the Lord. Yes. Nothing special. It just came to my heart that I've been reading a lot of the Bible, and the Bible tells us that, of course, we all know we're going through something. Every single person is going through something, but we have to believe that God is there for us. One of his promises, or many promises, he said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So in our heart, we have to believe so. There is a lot of members that are not here because sick or anything else, but the most that we can do is pray. Pray is so important. And believe that there is so many promises in the Word of God. The promises that he did before us, long time ago, and the promise is still with us. But the people who believe in Jesus, not anyone can claim the promise, but all of us can claim it as long as we believe in our heart that God is with us And when we're going through situations, some things may not happen right away, but keep praying. And keep praying, not just for you, all around us. As I said, we're all going through something. But God is good. Rejoice in the Lord. And do not let no one steal the joy of your heart. Love you guys. That's all.
I was going to say I'm so happy for Barbara that that's a prayer that we had prayed for her, that the Lord would, you know, give her the, whatever it is that she needs, and he gave her another dog. I'm so happy for that. And also for Mike, that through the years, we prayed about your parents. You've been going up there for years now, and we prayed and prayed, and the Lord has answered that prayer. And he certainly doesn't answer prayers the way we think that he would. But this morning, I was reading this Psalms 121. And so I wanted to read it to you. It says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade, our covering. As the sun will not harm you by day, excuse me, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come, as you go, both now and forever. And for some reason, that just, I know I've read this before, but it was impressed me that, you know, my help doesn't come from anyone or anything else, but from the Lord. And so we need to keep that in our mind, that he is our covering. He's there for us at all times. And so praise God for his word. So thank you.
I have praises for the answered prayer. My toilet went on me the other day. The bowl in the back, I knew what it was all about because my husband could do anything, and he used to fix that all the time, and I watched him. And it's a thing that goes up and down, and the water wouldn't stop running, and I thought, well, I'm going to call Gus. I call him Gus. It's JP. He might be home. I don't know. I know he was in Japan. So I called him up, and he said he just got back yesterday. And I told him what was wrong. He said, take a picture, send it to me. And there he was. He came and fixed it. It was 20 years old. He pulled it up, and he said all the plastic fell off. It was just completely corroded. It was a mess, and I couldn't fix it, but I knew what was wrong. But when I called the plumber guys, I have a plumber, oh, no, we can't come out until Tuesday. I said, well, the water's running. I can't make it stop running. I'm going to have a water bill from now until Tuesday. So that's when I called Gus, and he's sweet. I mean, he's a dear heart. He likes to help people. So, and the other thing was answered prayer. I had trouble with my air conditioner. It was like 10 o'clock at night, and I thought, I'm easy. 80's fine. So the next day, it still didn't work for me. So I called them, and they came out. It was a Saturday. I said, Saturday? Yeah, we'll be out. Of course, it's 150 to come out. But I said, I don't care. Come on out. So they came out, and they fixed that. So the Lord was there for me. He always is. But now I have need a big prayer. Years ago, I had prayer for a tooth that was pulled, remember? And for some reason, the Lord just sent me like Paul's, something that can't be fixed. And the damage that the guy did was in my brain, a nerve. And so now I have something called burning mouth syndrome, and there's nothing that can help it. So every day I have it, but I take a pain pill. It helps for a while, but it did take away my trigeminal pain. That's all I cared about. It was pain in my ear and my head all the time, like a knife, sharp knife. Now as I speak, I have another dental damage. I went to the dentist and I got a, I didn't want, the one in Philly, he was great, but I had to find new ones down here. He said, oh, you need a new bridge. A bridge was 30 years old. That dentist was great in Philly. This guy, oh, there it went again. This guy put a new one in, $6,000. And every time I talk or eat or anything, I bite my tongue. So I have pain all the time now in my tongue. And I went the other day and they sanded it down. But it still hurts. And I just, I've had this before. All they have to do is a good dentist is sand that and make that fit my mouth. But it's not working yet. So now I have new pain every day. And I hope I can get rid of that pain. We'll see. Prayer for mouth pain.
I want to pray for you right now, Marilyn. Father, we know that you are our comforter and our strength. We also know that not everything gets done the way we want it.
Right.
But we know you're there, and Marilyn certainly knows this. So I just pray, first of all, your peace for her inner mind and inner body. And then, of course, we seek your healing in these things, but we also seek your wisdom and guidance in how to resolve these things, because you work through people and situations to accomplish your purpose. That's the way you have decided to do it. And so we just come to seek you, to have your help and guidance in all of this. I thank you for Marilyn and her faithfulness, and just continue to pray for your strength for her. And we give you the praise for what you do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I do know that if all comes to worst, comes to worst, they just have to pull it out and leave the teeth there, what's left of the teeth. Because I can't go through this all the time.
We have a Christian Gideon, Matt Williamson, if you want to go see him.
Yeah, maybe I should get a second. I'm going to go back one more time and let him grind it and see if it works.
I can give you the information later.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Most of you know me, but I sit up there trying to get things working this morning. And I had a message this morning, and everything broke upstairs pretty much. So the point was, something was trying to keep me from saying this message this morning. So I almost didn't get to come down here. And then a couple seconds ago, we fixed the sound. YouTube wasn't working. So if you're trying to watch on YouTube, it wasn't going to work this morning. And then issues with the computer, didn't want to turn on. It's just things that never happened.
Yeah.
How does that happen, right? So, my message is about listening, hearing the voice, or a hearing test. I call it a hearing test. And I've been working on this for a little bit. But it's amazing how God will show me messages in a way that lets me understand it. So, what it was is, when you're trying to hear the Holy Spirit, your noise level may be too high. You may need to lower the noise floor, is what I called it. Sinful activities going on and in and around your life is like a chainsaw in your ears when you're trying to hear God's voice. You're walking around with your head full and your ears clogged, and you can't hear anything. God doesn't break down the door to get to you. You have to listen when he knocks, right? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. So, life is busy, and that's just where the devil wants you. No time for Jesus, God. And this is like in my life personally. You know, my life is very busy. Everybody's this, don't get me wrong. But I go to work, I come home, I take care of the kids, 4 kids. Go to work, come home, take care of the kids. And then in between that, I try to find time for yard work, maintaining the house, you know, do things with the kids. All that time, where is God? Where is Jesus? When he should be first, foremost, everywhere in there, right? So, but the devil likes it right where I am. No time for Jesus. So I put this in the thing that Richard might help me understand, too. When you do the hearing test for the physical ears in the military, they stop all the noise that you could possibly ever hear because they want you to hear their message. They put you in a big silence chamber. They put headphones on you. They make it so you can't hear anything. You can hear yourself. You can hear your heartbeat. You breathe slightly. You think you hear a tone, and then they give you little tones and make sure that you can hear it. They make sure that you can hear their message. And God makes sure you can hear their message, too. You just have to focus more. It's almost uncomfortable how quiet it is in the silence chamber when they're trying to give you a hearing test. Well, when things are silent around you, it can be uncomfortable too, right? You're like, hey, what happened? When you sit out in a peaceful somewhere, wherever you find your peace at, and sometimes it can be uncomfortable because there's not a lot going on, but that's your time to focus. A lot of people have a prayer closet, right? I've heard a lot about prayer closets and stuff like that. They just go to pray. So how do you stop the overwhelming noise filling your spiritual ears, as we could say? You enter into prayer. Prayer without ceasing. Yeah. Always be thinking about God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So the message was a hearing test, but it's, if you're too busy to listen to God, he's going to knock, and you're not going to hear it. That was my testimony. Thank you.
Well, that was a good message to end on, I think. That was really wonderful. I want to mention Judy was here. I don't know if they had to leave, but they're not back there now, family. But anyway, Tom is in the rehab center down by the hospital, and I put him out on prayer. He's doing better. Hopefully he'll be able to be home before too long, but when I was there the last time, they didn't know for sure. I don't know, Richard, if you've seen him to hear anything more, but I don't guess we know any more yet at this point. I know there are others that are also having physical problems, so we just want to lift them up in prayer. So anyway, thank you for the fellowship we have together, and praise God for all that he does. Let me just close this with prayer, and then we will proceed into our communion time. Well, Father, I just come to thank you and praise you for being our God and having your door open to us. But, you know, you also come knocking on the door of our heart. We have to open it because you want our willing fellowship. You're not going to force yourself on us, not for that fellowship. You will deal with the consequences when the time comes. But in the meantime, you're extending your grace to us, and we just want to continue to open the door, as we've heard here this morning in these wonderful testimonies. And so we thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. And we just continue to ask you to guide us now in our fellowship and worship here. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So now we get to do something very special, and that is remember. Remember the wonderful gift that God has given us. Picture this. You get a guy, he's not in the best of states. My speech is messed up because I had oral surgery, and they gave me this thing to put in there as a temporary thing until they get the permanent thing. And that temporary thing hurts like hell. I understand your pain. I would rather lisp then deal with that pain. So just deal with it. Anyways. Yeah. Look like a West Virginia guy. Anyways. Guy down his luck. He's on the streets. Can't get a shower but once a week. Clothes are all different styles and sizes. And he finds out that this man is coming, and he's interested in meeting this man. So he goes, and he tries to fix himself up, so he straightens his clothes up. He can't really take a shower, so he washes his face and his hands. Walks in and meets this man. The man's a great man. He's still stinking all out of heaven, and still clothes are all mismatched, and shoes got holes in them. And the man looks at him with love and says, listen, you can't be this way. So what I'm going to do, if you're willing, is I'm going to take you home, and I'm going to wash you up. And I'm going to get you some new clothes. And then I'm going to teach you how not to be on the streets. I'm going to teach you how not to do the wrong things. Now, you can't come home with me unless you're willing to submit to me. You must admit that living on the streets is not cool and learn from me. If you're not willing to do that, they're the streets. So in the Bible, there's a story. It's a really cool story. I love this story. One of my favorite. And those servants went out into the highways and gathered all together all whom they found, both bad and good. Get that, bad and good. Didn't matter as long as you yield your heart to Christ. Once that happens, things change. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man who did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what does that say? We serve a God who absolutely adores us. And there's this lie out there that says that God loves you just the way you are. Now, he loves you, but he loves you despite who you are. Not just the way you are, because the way you are out of Christ is not good. And you're just like that bum. Now, just say you have two bums now. One sitting on this, one sitting over here. One man puts his feet up. He says, man, I found the best garbage can ever, and it was in a rich neighborhood, and I got me a set of Nikes that don't have holes in them. And he starts to brag about his new Nikes. And he starts bragging, and the other guy's like, man, my shoes got holes in them. And there becomes this structure. This guy's better than this guy, but neither one are. They're both bums. They both stink. And they both need new clothes, and they need a new attitude. They need righteousness. God loves us despite who we are, and he loves us enough to spend the time to change us to who we can be in Christ. 1 John 4. 1 John is one of my favorite books in the Bible because it's so comprehensive with it's so comprehensive with the gospel in a condensed way. Actually, it's 1 John 2, sorry. 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. So why did John write the gospel to us? Did he write it so we could be healthy or rich or super happy? No. He wrote it clear so that we may not sin. Now, sin causes problems. You're foolish with your money. Got no money for the rent. No bread in the cupboard. Foolish with your health, smoke all the time or drink all the time, you end up with liver damage or lung damage or whatever. So sin does cause bad stuff to happen. And living outside of sin causes some good stuff to happen, i.e. no lung damage, no liver damage, and bread in the cupboard. bread for somebody else's cupboard because you got a little bit extra money. That happened yesterday. I was headed home, and there was a lady in the middle of the road with her car. And I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "I have no gas and no money to put gas in the car, and the car was blocking all the traffic." So we got her some gas, filled her tank up, gave her a couple dollars for groceries, and said, "Have a nice day." All right. So point is this. God is awesome. He died to free us from sin. That sin that we're freed from is wedding garments. Clean. Smells good. Looks good. He loves us enough to change us. And God is a big God. And God promises us that if we never are chastened, we don't belong to Him. Meaning, we should have some bruises from when He put us back on the path. Because Lord knows I got my share of them. He took the big 2x4 out and put me in place. And I say that with all honesty. But He loves us to put us where we need. And that's what we celebrate. Freedom from sin. So that we can have a very good life. Because the result of that sin doesn't reign in our lives. Christ does. Freedom to love God. Because we don't have that before we meet God and repent and follow Him. Freedom to understand that He is wise and we're not. And that we can trust in His word. If we live our whole life and there's never a change towards righteousness, you probably don't know God. Because everybody I know that loves God, their testimony is going from point A to point B, and it always moves to righteousness, away from sin. And that's what we celebrate. And that's what I want to celebrate until I die and I can stand before Jesus. And I don't need a big sermon. I don't need good job, good and faithful servant. Just an attaboy of a fist bump would do me good. Because that's all I want to be, is with Jesus. Be clean, white, pure, in the love of, in His love. And He makes us that. So yield your heart to Him. Confess what He puts in your heart as you remember His love. And move and work towards righteousness every day of your life. And enjoy His company. And when you get to communion, dear Lord, You're awesome and we're not. We mess up when we anticipate the outcomes, so we decide to manipulate the situation versus listening to You. So help us to listen to You, love You, and do what You ask us to do. Accept what You put in our lives, drop to our knees, and pray every day for the best relationship we can have with You, so that we can have amazing relationships with other people. In Your name, amen. If you awake, we can take it together. If you'll wait, we'll take it together. All right. I got to utilize the microphone. Sorry. Thank you. On the night he was betrayed, he took his bread. He took his very close friends who he loved and chose to teach. And he looked at them in love and said, "This is my body," knowing full well that this would be the his body, his sacrifice would be their saving. And he lovingly said, "This is my body. Take and eat and remember it." And then, being confused, the disciples looked at him, and he picked up the cup and confused them more, because they didn't get it until after he resurrected from the dead. But he said, "This is my blood, and this sacrifice will free you, and you will be able to be with me for eternity. Take and drink." Thank you, Lord.
Mute that phone, and I forgot to do it. Anyway. Huh?
That was Charles calling.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Hi, Charles, if you're watching. Hi.
I don't know how he does it, but I know he. That's really something. Well, anyway, we miss him. Continue to pray for him. I need to try to get by there and see him just to find out how he is doing. Hadn't been here for a while. Others, Judy and her family were here, but they just left, so we don't know. I'll check with them later, and of course Tom's situation. But anyway, we thank God that He is working for us in our lives, whether we realize it or not. We're going to take up the offering. Oh, all right. Let's ask God's blessing first. Father, again, we just give you the praise and the glory for all that you do. And we know that if we keep you first in our lives, that you are going to take care of the other things to help us through our circumstances. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but we know we are going to have the victory. And so we just continue to persevere because of the help that you provide. And thank you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, thank the Lord for the way that he does continue to help us and provide for us. You can notice in the bulletin we have some birthdays and anniversaries, and you can make Tom and Judy happen to have one this month, so continue to pray for them. We're studying on Wednesday night in the book of Exodus. We're now in chapter 19, so if you can come for that. We invite you to be there. Are there any other things that we need to mention here by way of announcements before we continue with the preaching? Come on right up.
He knows about it.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
All right. So we're packing the house. And next week our house goes on the market, and when it sells, we're out of here. So I'm here for 3 weeks, a month, maybe. I don't know. I was going to wait till like the week prior and tell you guys, but I didn't think it would be fair. So,
well, I'll be praying for you.
So that's the deal on that. I'm going to go see my grandbabies, retire, just.
Move where your family is.
Move where my daughter is, and serve God wherever God would call us to serve.
Amen.
Maybe get involved full time with the Gideons or something like that. So that's what's going on.
Well, thank you, brother. You've been a blessing to us, and we'll keep you in our prayers. even though you're not here when you leave, I should say.
I'm still here for a little while.
I know. I didn't mean it that way, but that's right. Whenever you go. All right. Well, excited about the message I have this morning, and we're going through the book of Timothy, which I've mentioned before. This is the first time for me to preach through it. Oh, yes, the kids are dismissed. I'm sorry if you want to go to their part. Sorry, Vicki. Got sidetracked there. Of course, it's been a very central book for me in my life and has guided me in my ministry, and the things that I have to share this morning will also expand on that. So we're in the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, coming to chapter 3, which speaks about the qualifications for overseers and deacons, which is the title of this message. Paul also wrote a letter to Titus, and he included some instructions there for elders. He didn't mention the deacons to Titus in his instructions. While these instructions apply primarily to those either in the position or coming to that position, they are still important for all believers to know and understand, because the leaders are to be examples of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and that is to help others to continue to grow in their walk. And we each have different callings, and I'm going to be talking about that some more as I go through this message. So as we know, not everyone will seek these positions, because God is not calling them to that, but He is calling you to your ministry. And so we just want to make sure that we are helping guide people to do what God is calling them to do. So let me read our text. We're going to begin in chapter 3, verse 1 of the first book of Timothy. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be an overseer, he desires an honorable position. So the overseer must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? An overseer must not be a new believer, because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons must be well respected and have integrity. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. Before they are appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women must be respected and must not slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife, and he must manage his children and household well. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus. This is 1 Timothy chapter 3, the first 13 verses. Now, I know often this is thought to be only applicable to those who are seeking the position or in the position, but as I said, it's not, and I'm going to share that here this morning. So my first point is that this is the model for leadership, but in the leadership, it is also the model for those who are disciples of Christ to follow. Timothy was a young man, and Paul was mentoring him, and he left him, and as he says in this letter, in Ephesus, in order to be able to set things in place that needed to still be done. Because Paul, his calling was to be a missionary worker. He is traveling throughout the Roman Empire in different places, and so he is writing to Timothy to continue to instruct him on how to be the leader that he should be, and to seek the Holy Spirit who will help guide him. And of course, what's fascinating is he didn't have a Bible to carry with him like we do. So they had to either memorize Scripture or something like Paul writing a letter would be a guidance for him. So that is why it is important for us to know what God is telling us. And if we are following Jesus, then we need to know these things, and we hope we are following Jesus. Another point I want to make right now is that a leader is not superior to anyone, but instead is a servant to them. And as I say, leading by example. This is what Jesus taught when he was here. When in this particular occasion, the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor of him. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right hand and the other on your left." But Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?" They replied, "Oh, yes, we're able." I always like that answer because that's the way we respond when we don't really know what's going on. Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared these places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28. What a great scripture, what a great teaching that Jesus is giving us. And so it shows us that our goal for living the Christian life must be to become the kind of disciple that Jesus is speaking about here and what he wants us to be. That is why a leader in the fellowship must exemplify and model the life that we are called to live, just like Jesus did. This doesn't mean they will be perfect. That's impossible for us. But as they strive for the perfection in Christ, it will help challenge others and show them how to follow the way Jesus wants us to go. So, as we think about this, I decided to make a list of the things that are here, so I'm going to go through that first. 1, a good reputation. 2, faithful in marriage. 3, having good judgment. 4, self-controlled. 5, well-behaved. 6, hospitable. 7, able to teach. 8, doesn't become drunk on alcohol. 9, not violent but gentle. 10, not quarrelsome. 11, not a lover of money. 12, manages his family well. His children obey him. 13, 14, does this in a manner worthy of respect. 15, not a recent convert. 16, good reputation with outsiders. 17, avoids the devil's traps. 17 things that are mentioned here. And when you look at that list, they apply to all of us, don't they? They are great things to pursue. And the purpose of the leader is to exemplify this and to help all of us stay on track. Now, this is the deacon. 1, worthy of respect. 2, be sincere. 3, doesn't become drunk on alcohol. 4, not greedy for dishonest gain. 5, keep the truth of the faith with a clear conscience. 6, being examined and found blameless. 7, faithful to his wife. 8, managing his children and household well. The women are to be worthy of respect, not slandering others. 10, exercising self-control and becoming faithful in all things. Now, in this list, I want to mention here that, I just want to make sure I finish the list up there before. The key here, I think, the last thing I want to say is that it's interesting because women are also eligible for being a deacon. They are not for an elder. And the purpose of that is not because as men we're superior to women. In many ways we're not. We are equal, but God has created us to have different roles, different functions. And the truth is one of the reasons there is such a breakdown in our families today is because men are not modeling for their children what they ought to be doing. And so it creates a real problem. And unfortunately, when the women have to take over, then they don't do what they need to do either and how they can model, because they're to be a team together. But so anyway, I just want to, and I wanted to share this scripture. You know, some people think, I grew up in a background that didn't believe women could be deacons. A deacon is a servant. That's just a transliteration of the Greek word, which means servant. And here's a scripture that really brings this out. When Paul was writing to the Romans, he said, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me." Romans 16, 1 and 2. So I just wanted to bring that out, because I think it's important to realize that what God is calling us to do is to find our place in what he wants us to be, and then to pursue that, and to be faithful in what he has called us to do, because each of us have been given gifts to be carried out, which I'm going to talk about here in a little while. But now here's the second thing I want to mention. These examples are to be followed by the believers. I've been mentioning that, but I want to emphasize this, because the list of qualifications that Paul gave here were not to elevate the leaders above others, but to challenge them to set an example that others would follow. This is the way Jesus lived and taught. And I've already brought out a scripture, but I have another one that is so good to make this point. And here it is. Jesus left with his disciples and started through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know about it, because he was teaching the disciples that the Son of Man would be handed over to people who would kill him. And then 3 days later, he would be raised to life. But the disciples did not understand what Jesus meant, and they were afraid to ask. And I just want to stop here a moment, because it's interesting how Jesus was doing this. And a lot of times this is forgotten. It wasn't just like he just said it right before, like the Last Supper. He was already trying to prepare them, but they did not understand it, and they didn't want to accept it, because they had this idea that he was going to be some kind of a ruler. So anyway, continuing now, Jesus and his disciples went to his home in Capernaum. After they were inside the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about along the way?" They had been arguing about which of them was the greatest, and so they did not answer. After Jesus sat down and told the 12 disciples together around him, he said, "If you want the place of honor, you must become a servant and serve others." Then Jesus took a child standing near him, and he put his arm around the child and said, "When you welcome even a child because of me, you welcome me. And when you welcome me, you welcome the one who sent me." Mark 9, 30 through 37. Now, the thing that is so impacting to me about all of this, and should be to all of us, is to really come to understand who Jesus is. Too often, people don't really have a good perspective about this. I mean, yeah, he's our friend, he's our shepherd, but we need to also and realize who he was before he became all of that. And this scripture, which I know I've shared before, but I think it is so great to keep in mind about who our Lord, our shepherd, our helper, our high priest is. It's in Philippians chapter 2. Paul is writing, and he says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love for one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish or conceited, trying to impress others. Be humble, valuing others above yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to hold on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Rather, he took the humble position of a servant and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. What a great scripture. And what an amazing perspective of our Savior, who came down here, lived down here for at least 3 years, went through some of the worst things, worse than we'll ever go through, and yet here he was, willing to do it all for us. It's incredible. And so when we understand this and we realize how great this news is, then it gives us the opportunity to follow his example, which brings me to this point. Whoops. Oh, I jumped ahead of myself, which is common for me to do. This is a scripture from Peter, and the Apostle Peter is bringing out the same point, and I wanted to share this one because it is so good, too. All praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of our full salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are obtaining the end result of your faith, the final salvation of your souls. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And the reason I wanted to include that scripture is because we are able to accomplish this because of what Jesus did. But we have to keep our focus on him. Because if we don't, we're not going to have that perspective. And so that brings me to the point I was jumping ahead, which is this one. As believers, we are all equal in Christ Jesus. What wonderful news that Jesus brings to us to help us to realize that we are equal human beings in him. That is why, as I function in the capacity that's called a pastor, which really is another word for elder or overseer, I'm not above anyone else in our fellowship. Jesus is our head spiritually, and we are part of his body. Like the body, we have different functions. I should say the parts of the body. We have different functions, but we are all called to work together. You know, we've experienced, we've lived very long, to know that when the parts of our body don't work together right, it's difficult. And so this is the key example that is used in Scripture. And so I want to share this chapter in Corinthians because it is one that I think we maybe know fairly well, maybe have read it several times, but the question really becomes, are we actually doing it? Do we understand it to make it applicable in our lives? So let me begin reading. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, just let me stop a moment on that point. The reality is you can speak the words, but what he is saying there is you can't know that. You can't live that out. And so he goes on. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of languages. And to still another, the interpretation of those languages. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. That is the key, folks. I think, unfortunately, too often people are trying to get what they want instead of trying to discover what the Spirit wants. And that's the key for us. What is the Spirit actually calling me to do? Because He determines what I'm going to have the gift to do. So he goes on, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Again, I have to inject things here because this is so critical, folks. I had two cousins whose mother was my mom's oldest sister, and they were Pentecostal. And, of course, they thought that in order for you to be baptized in the Spirit, you had to speak in tongues as the evidence of that. Well, that just is not the case, folks. And I have the only tongue I've ever spoken is English. I spent a year in high school trying to learn Spanish. I got a D the first semester, and I flunked it the second semester. So, but I want you to know that I was baptized in the Spirit. And it was an amazing thing, too, because I was 11 years old. I've told this before. My dad took me about 70 miles to get me baptized by another man. When I came up out of the water, I experienced the Spirit in my life like I never had before. And it's not that I didn't know about it. It's just that that's the way it works. And the truth of the matter is, we're all open to that. The Spirit is there for us, and He is the one that gives us these gifts. And it's not as though we need a particular kind of gift to achieve it. No, it's the Spirit that does it, and that's the thing that I just want to emphasize. So he goes on. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. They were all one part. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, gifts of helping, gifts of guidance, and gifts of different kinds of languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak the same languages? Do all interpret? Of course not. So eagerly desire the most helpful gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. That's the entire chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, you know that 13 is the chapter on love, one of the great chapters in the Bible. And it is where we gain the perspective of knowing what is the most excellent way, because when we understand and apply love in our life, then we are going to know how to work together. And let me tell you something. When we start working together, people are going to do things that you don't like, and it can be upsetting. But the reality is if the Spirit is controlling us, we're going to understand that just like God extended grace to me, I need to extend grace to you. And so I tell people, and I mean this, it is impossible for you to offend me. You know why? Because Jesus took my offense. How in the world can I be offended? Because of what Jesus did for me, I am not going to let anything anyone else does to me bother me. I mean, it may bug me right in the moment, you know. I mean, sometimes I respond to things too quickly, impulsive, but it ain't going to last because I'm in touch with the Spirit. I'm in touch with the Lord. I'm going to let Him see me through these things. And so love is the most excellent way. And of course, when we fully understand chapter 12 and then we go into chapter 13 where Paul says, I'm going to show you the most excellent way, we understand how love guides us and helps us in all these things so that we are then properly carrying out the ministry that God has given us. And that's the key. Don't be comparing yourself to anybody else. Don't look at someone else and think, oh, they're so much better than I am. Or the other thing, you know, well, they're certainly not worth anything. You know, it's either one way or the other. You're either jealous of somebody or you're looking down on somebody. But the Lord delivers us from all of that. What a wonderful blessing. So when we understand all this properly and we're working together to fulfill our purpose in Christ, then we will be the kind of fellowship, the kind of body He wants us to be. And so I just want to encourage us to really meditate upon these things and realize that what Paul was telling Timothy was so that Timothy would do what needed to be done to help the church become what the church needed to be. And that's what we want to do here. So, as we work together diligently, then we will be growing in Christ Jesus and fulfilling His purpose for us in His body, the church. So let us persevere in all of this so that His will is done in us both now and for eternity. Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. So I'm going to leave it there. And the Lord be with you and have a blessed day. Amen. You're dismissed.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
You better not run away.